Summertime on WWCR. We're
You're listening to the Hour of the Time.
I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
And I'm going to start off, ladies and gentlemen, giving you just a little bit of background to lead into tonight's episode of the Hour of the Time. Approximately 50 years ago, a young man lay in a coffin in a building called the Crypt at Yale University. He lay naked and told those standing around in black robes his innermost secrets. A string was tied around his genitalia, symbolizing the separation of the intellect from the animal. He was raised from the coffin with a grip of the lion's claw and was given a new name. Many years later, in Southeast Asia, in the Golden Triangle, in Laos, Cambodia, and parts of Vietnam, the Hmong tribesmen harvested their fields of poppy, performed a crude refinement. The resulting product was shaped into balls and carried to safe positions in the jungle, where there were heroin factories operated and controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency. Men like my friend John Lear, who flew for the Central Intelligence Agency, would fly into these airstrips near these crude opium refinement centers, load their planes with heroin, and take them to another place where they were dispatched to the Far East Trading Company run by Richard Armitage and Theodore Shackley. From there, the drugs made their way to Central America, most of them. Some of them made their way back into Vietnam to the American servicemen who were supposed to be fighting a war to protect our country. The ones that were funneled through this vast network finally arrived in Central America, where they were loaded onto shrimp boats. The shrimp boats conveyed them to the offshore oil platforms of Zapata Oil, where they were finally introduced into the United States of America to be sold to our children. This story began with a poppy, and it ended with a poppy. For the young man, as he was raised up, reborn out of the coffin in the crypt, was given a new name. That name was Poppy. He later became the president and CEO of Zapata Oil. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is George Herbert Walker Bush. Zapata Oil is not named, as many of you believe, after Emilio Zapata, the Mexican revolutionary. It is named after the shoe. The shoe, ladies and gentlemen, has throughout the ages been the symbol of the master, the ruling class. You see, the Skull and Bones, the Russell Trust, the Crypt, is a branch of the ancient mystery religion of Babylon. In specific, the Knights Templar. If you ever visit Europe and seek out the graves of the Knights Templar throughout France and the rest of Europe, you will notice that there are two symbols on their headstones. It is either a skull and bones, or it is the sculpture of a man sitting in his chair with his feet up on the back of a dog, signifying the master. Our guest tonight is Grant McEwen. While all this was taking place, Grant McEwen was in the 3rd Battalion of the United States Marine Corps. I was fighting on a river in the dead of night near the DMZ on a patrol boat. And Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, then a young officer, was participating in the systematic assassination of 30,000 young freedom fighters in South Vietnam under the Phoenix Project in order to pave the way for the communist takeover. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, Grant.
Good evening. How are you doing, Bill?
Fine. Can you give us some background? Tell our listening audience who you are and how you got to be here on this program, and so they'll know who they're listening to.
Well, I was a very naive young man that went into the Marine Corps to serve what I consider to be calling serve my country and what I consider to be my patriotic duty. I joined the Marine Corps in 1958, and after finishing a basic training and infantry training regiment at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, I was shipped to Okinawa, where I joined up with the 3rd Recon Battalion, 3rd Marine Division, out of Camp Swab, and was transferred a temporary additional duty to Vietnam. Shortly after reaching there, we started going out on patrol, and I was told by a young sergeant that I had met in the mess. We were discussing the activities that we were involved in, and he says, you guys are taking, he says, what are you doing up in Laos? And I said, we're not in Laos. What are you, crazy? And he said, those are my birds. I know where they go. And I said, no, you got to be wrong. And he said, when you get through Chow, he says, come on down and see me, and I'll brief you a bit. And I got from here, his friend, I got a set of night scopes, and I got the maps, and I got the particular landmarks that I was to look for, and on our flight into Laos, and sure enough, we went across the Mekong into Laos, up near the Burma border, for the specific purpose of doing recon in the area to make sure there's nobody interfering with flights coming out of the Golden Triangle, in and out, weapons in, and opium out. Some of that opium stopped at the refineries there in Laos, and some of it came back into Da Nang for transference to other parts of the country, mostly into this country.
Mm-hmm. What do you do now, Grant?
I have a software development company. That's what I own, but what I do is I do political research. I battle the IRS. I help people get out of the system, reestablish their sovereignty, get out of the contract of adhesion. I study what's going on with their government. I see us losing our nation very, very quickly. It used to be at a slow pace, but now they're running at a very high pace. It's hard to keep up with them. the Federal Reserve Bank boys, the same ones that set Hitler up, are trying to destroy this nation. I have a very tough time with the attitudes of the U.S. citizens as it relates to their country.
Welcome to the club.
And the fact that they just, you give them a beer and turn on the tube for them, and they'll shut the entire world out. I don't guess we can save them all. I guess most of them are going to be cannon fodder, but it's a disgrace that we have such a wonderful country here, set up by our forefathers to serve us for many, many hundreds of years with a beautiful set of laws to guide us, and we're allowing that to be taken away from us without firing one shot.
Well, I don't think it's going to... I don't think they're going to get it without us firing one shot, I guarantee you. There are a lot of people in this country who aren't going to stand for it.
Well, I think they've already got it. It's a matter of us taking it back.
Well, legally, on the law books, you're absolutely correct. The one world government is in place. We are a vassal nation state of the United Nations. We are now functioning as the world police force for this world government. And they are slowly indoctrinating the citizens into a consensus where they will want to give up their guns and be a part of this.
Yes.
And many people are falling into this trap, not understanding what they ever had or what they're going to lose or what it means for their future and their children's future and, of course, their grandchildren's future. And as our forefathers would have said, for posterity.
Yes. I got out of the Marine Corps. I spent 7 years, 1 month, and 5 days in the United States Marine Corps. I got out in 64. I was so disenchanted with what I had been through as relates to our nation and the drug filtering through the military and the CIA into this country that immediately upon getting out of the Marine Corps, I started doing research. I started talking to people. In my research, the scum that I continue to turn the rock over and find under there as relates to the destruction of our nation with drugs, with George Herbert Walker Bush, the main player, the godfather of drugs in this country.
Well, that's why we've invited you on this program. It seems that you've turned up the same information that I turned up. Initially, I discovered this while working in the Office of Naval Intelligence as a petty officer, and then spent many, many years researching on my own to come to the same conclusions that you've reached on your own, and we never met or even knew of each other's existence, really, until just yesterday.
Right.
Is that correct?
Exactly.
And we talked on the phone for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, if that much, just enough to understand that we're both on the same track. I'm going to turn the rest of this program over to you, Grant, and I want you to tell our listening audience what it is that you've discovered about the drugs in the country, George Herbert Walker Bush, his family, in specific, his sons, and his father, and another man by the name of, as we call him on this program, he is known by no other name than Bobo Gritz.
Bogreitz. Bogreitz is a fellow that I have been doing some research on. It seems like every place he's ever stepped a foot to serve, supposedly what he calls serving this country, it's been in the activity of serving it by dealing up drugs and helping this process that George Bush has going of bringing drugs into this country. After taking over from the French, the communist North Vietnamese taking over from the French by the slaughter of 17,000 French Foreign Legion, Dien Bien Phu, we walked right in behind them with the military operation in South Vietnam to take that over from the communists. And at that point, we had put into place the New World Order because we had control of the very three things that were necessary for there to become a one world order controlled by George Bush and his internationalists. And that was we had to control the drugs, we had to control the oil, and we had to control the food. And we do all three of those at this point. That operation over there in Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, where there was hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people killed, was done strictly as a cover for a drug operation. It was nothing more than that. James Bo Grice was involved in that Phoenix operation. He was involved with Special Forces and CIA operations up there as one of the commanders. And there was a thousand of people just slaughtered under the guise that they were communist rebels. These people were murdered. Then comes the deal with Noriega, Operation Once Time, because our flights were getting busted coming out of Costa Rica, flying into this country. They came up because we didn't have any military presence in Costa Rica. The drug flights were getting busted by customs in Miami.
Uh-huh.
So they set up Operation Watchtower, where they would backfly from John Hull's ranch back into Panama, showing their flight of origin to be out of Panama in conjunction with an agreement that they had made with Noriega. That was called Operation Watchtower. They would fly into this country unmolested.
Now,
they come under the jurisdiction of CIA military operations, and the first one to head that up was Bo Grice. That was called Operation Watchtower.
That's correct.
Nothing but for the transference of drugs into this country.
Now, he claimed that he was the senior United States Army G2 intelligence officer in Central America, and that he didn't know anything about drugs coming into the United States. Now, who is John Hull? I know who these people are. I know what we're talking about, but we have a lot of people out there that don't understand or don't make any connection with these names and these locations. So let's backtrack just a little bit. And who is John Hull?
John Hull was a CIA operative that had a ranch in over the mountain from Alajuela, a little town just south of San Jose, Costa Rica. About a 15,000-acre ranch.
And he had an airfield on this
ranch. Airfield on there, and that's where they would land their flights in Central America. And George Bush, after having much of his drugs being taken away by customs, went down to Noriega and sat down and negotiated a contract with Noriega where his flights would fly back out of Costa Rica to Panama and set up their origin flight out there into this country. They came into Homestead Air Force Base. In fact, those flights are still coming into Homestead Air Force Base. If you'll just reflect back during the tenure of George Bush as President of the United States, all the Medellin and Cali cartel were systematically taken out. They were either murdered or locked up. Most of them were murdered. He put into place a fellow who was his old buddy that helped set up the assassination of John F. Kennedy by the name of Theodore Shankly, who was also known as General Robert E. Haynes in the Phoenix operation. He set him up in Medellin, Colombia. He is now the head of both of those cartels, and the drugs are flowing faster than ever. I was just in Costa Rica a few months ago. I met a friend of Russell Bowen's, General Russell Bowen, a CIA OSS officer, who was a very close friend of mine. He took me over to John Hull's ranch. We drove over from San Jose one beautiful morning, and I said I would like to see John Hull's ranch, and he said we'll drive near there, but we won't be going on the ranch. And while we were there, there was two flights come off about maybe 45 minutes apart, and you could tell that they were laboring very heavily to get off the ground with their load. And I said, "Wow, what are they carrying?" He says, "Oh, it's business as usual." He says, "I know you're not naive." He says, "I've talked to the general about you, so I know who you are. Don't think for one minute I don't know that you know what's on those planes." He said, "They only carry one thing." And so the opium and the heroin that's been refined from the opium and the cocaine is flowing through Central America into this country. That's the reason why they're rebuilding Homestead Air Force Base after the hurricane. That's the reason why Jeb Bush is in Miami. He was there strictly to make sure that the supplies got through. And here this man is running for the office of governor of the state of Florida. He has another son, George Bush does. George Bush Jr. for Texas is running for governor. And can you imagine having two sons, if you're in the drug business like George Bush is, having control of that much shoreline? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable if the American people haven't woke up to the facts. Where are these drugs coming from? I wonder if they think these monkeys standing on the street corner with a crack cocaine that's got about as much, you know, they got a single number IQ, are bringing these drugs into the country, or is there somebody else bringing them in? I mean, it's time we wake up.
Well, it doesn't take too many brains to understand that it's not any high school educated Colombian drug lord who has set up such a logistical network, a system or umbrella of total and absolute protection, a system of our network of supply, and then a system of retail outlets in every single city and town in this entire country. It doesn't take anyone with too many brains to understand that it's not being flown in by little guys in little planes flying across the border, or brought in by cigarette boats from the Gulf of Mexico. These are huge, tremendous shipments of drugs. They are protected by and shipped by and controlled by the intelligence agencies of the United States government.
Exactly. Right on point. That is confirmed by General Russell Bourne. We collaborated on a book together. It's called The Immaculate Deception, The Bush Crime Family Exposed. That book has been sent to George Bush and all of his family. His son, his daughter in Maine, his son in Miami, his son
Well, you know, he has no choice but to go through with this.
Exactly. But, you know,
and he's not doing this for himself. The money is not going in his pocket.
No, no. But he is enjoying the good life, as some would call it, as part of his reward.
That's correct.
And is certainly not hurting for anything.
Any member of the Brotherhood who does the bidding that they are enjoyed to perform will receive the benefits and the protection of the Brotherhood. The money goes back into the Brotherhood and is being used to destroy this nation and every other sovereign nation in the world to bring about the New World Order.
Right. And getting back to Bob Rice, let's go just one step further with him, getting away from the Phoenix operation and Operation Watchtower. Let's go to the training of the Mujahideen. That was strictly a front for an operation through Afghanistan, the Helwan Highway.
Well, that is the old ancient caravan trail.
Sure. Here we go with Bo Grice again. Every place you see this guy, he's involved in some kind of drug deal.
Now, it's not even conceivable that a man who claims to have been the senior United States Army intelligence officer in Central America, it's absolutely inconceivable that he could not have known that the United States government was bringing drugs into this country.
Well, there's one thing that Bo's very good about. That's lying. I mean, what is the truth as relates to Bo Grice? If you hear him one day, he'll tell you one thing. If you see him the next, he'll tell you something else. He tells so many lies as relates to his operations and who he's serving that he can't remember his own lies. What this man has to understand is truth's eternal. Lies, you have to remember them. The truth knocks you down. You can't get away from it. But these lies, you never remember them. And he's been caught in so many lies. As relates to Randy Weaver, the Ruby Creek incident, was he sent in there by the FBI? Yes, he was. Then why doesn't he admit he works for the FBI? He denies that, which is no lie. He denies he's involved in any drug deals. Let's go back to the Golden Triangle. He went in there and did a film with a news crew. Walked into General Kuntsov's camp, saying this is the first time he'd ever been there. He didn't know this place existed, and so forth and so on. Anybody that would believe that has no idea about the Golden Triangle, because you don't walk into General Kuntsov's camp like Bo Grice did with his film team, unless he was sent there by very high-ranking people previous to that. And this was an old friend returning to see an old friend.
Well, he did something else during that. The whole thing was taped, and during that episode, as they're reading off the names of the people in our government involved in drug dealing, it gets to a certain point where Bo just cuts him off and does not allow him to go to the next name, which he was just about to pronounce. Who do you think that name would have been?
That would have been his old commander, Eric von Marbach. Absolutely. And the next name above that would have been George Bush. Beau Bryant would not expose his commander by allowing his name to be read. The reason why he did that, I think Beau was cut out of his pay at some point in time, unlike Ollie North was, and he was just trying to squeeze them for his final paycheck on an operation he was involved in, which was probably in the several million dollars. I would say I know one deal where Ollie North got $33 million, and I think that was a deal that Beau Bryant was cut out of, and that was a delivery into Mena, Arkansas. And after that deal went down, then Beau Bryant got very vocal, trying to squeeze these people, taking this tape to Richard Armitage in Washington, D.C., and threatening him with it, thinking that, the guys have got us, and we'll go ahead and pay him off. Beau Bryant has never done anything honorable. All these awards hanging on his chest makes him look like some simple America a dictator. Is nothing but show.
Well, some of those medals he earned legitimately, I believe.
Oh, yes.
But most of those medals are awards from foreign governments, which we in the Navy at one time would have called geedunk medals. They're for being a gopher when nobody else would go because it was illegal, immoral, unlawful, or just downright wrong. You send somebody who has no morals, who has no conscience, and that's where those things come from.
Exactly.
By his own admission, he participated in the Phoenix Project and was, in fact, an assassin. He didn't kill these people by meeting them in face-to-face combat. He snuck into their homes and their rooms in the middle of the night and literally assassinated them in their sleep.
Anybody that was with the Green Berets, that was with Operation Phoenix, with the CIA, that was nothing but a killing operation, murder. They murdered the people.
Approximately 30,000 individuals that we've been able to determine. The official figures that they will tell you is over 20,000. But when you talk to people who were involved in the program, people in Vietnam, the number is up above 30,000. Now, these were not communists. They were supposed to be communists. That's what the press was told. But in actuality, they were the people who would have formed a complete a resistance movement to a communist takeover of South Vietnam.
Exactly. These were just good country people like you would find out in middle America here that were just trying to get along. They were slaughtered, wholesale slaughtered, murdered by the special forces and CIA in the Phoenix operation. There's another incident that just totally exposes Beau Bryant, and I hate to keep beating on Beau Bryant here, but you asked me about him, so I'm going to tell you. There was a court case out in Las Vegas, and this is almost laughable to anybody that has any knowledge of the law. He was charged for unlawful use of a passport that he obtained in Los Angeles, California. But he was charged in Las Vegas, Nevada, by people that you have to assume know quite a bit about the law. That's your U.S. attorneys.
They know enough to know what venue means.
Exactly. He was charged in a court where they absolutely did not have venue, and that is one of the first things you consider when you file prior to filing a charge. Do we have venue? Where does the venue rest in this particular case? Well, it certainly didn't rest in Las Vegas. But it made Beau Bryant to the patriot community, those that were naive enough to buy this, as making him look like he defeated the government, head-on confrontation. And when in fact this was nothing more than a con job, both by Beau Bryant and the feds out there to get him in good stead with the patriot community so he could infiltrate them and employ something like this spike program to further expose the patriot community. And I say anybody that's taken the spike training from Beau Bryant has to be very, very nervous about where they're going to be in a few months.
Yeah, I would. I've been warning people about this for a long time. It's refreshing to hear somebody else do the same thing. How did you catch on to this guy? What was the first clue you had that he was not on the level?
I listened to several of his speeches. I watched the tape, and I'm watching this tape over and over again. And, you know, I worked this area up in up near Burma. I knew how vicious this General Kunsari is. There's nobody walked into this man's camp unrelated to some past experience with him and had to be an old friend, especially if you're the color skin of Bogue Wright's and his nationality. When I saw this film with him going in there with this news team, I said, this is phony baloney. Absolutely phony baloney. And I already had a dossier on Richard Armitage and General Heinie Aderholt as relates to the Bangkok trading company that they had there, the Far East Trading Company in Bangkok, Thailand. And knowing that they were the bagmen for the drug trade, taking the money down to the bank in Australia, the Dugan Bank, which was a predecessor to the BCCI, I started doing more checking, and I started calling people and saying, "Tell me what you know about Bogue Wright's." I confronted him at the University of Central Florida here in Orlando to try to ask him questions as relates to his duty and responsibilities.
Dan, I got to interrupt you right here because we've got to take a little break.
Sure.
Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Now, we're lucky to have a sponsor not only that is honest, upstanding, offers a good product that can help every single listener out there, but cares enough to pay for all the airtime for the Hour of the Time for 2 hours every night, Monday through Friday, every single week, come rain or shine. They have, for your perusal, and I think every one of you should take advantage of it, copies of several newsletters and a lot of information that you should have available for your economic education, so to speak. They also offer non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets in their various forms, and you know what I'm talking about, gold, silver, platinum, precious metals. The only thing in the history of the world that has ever truly protected anyone in difficult economic times. We are facing extremely difficult times ahead of us in this country as the New World Order continues to struggle to be born healthy and wielding the rod and the staff above the citizens of this country. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really care about those you love, if you really care about everything that you've sweated so hard and worked so hard for all your life, if you really want to make sure that you have an umbrella of protection, you need to talk to the good folks at Swiss America Trading. And you need to do it right now. Don't procrastinate. Every day that you wait, your dollar loses value. I know people now who think that they're doing so much better than they were years ago. Years ago, only the man, the head of the household, had to go to work. If the woman wanted to go to work, she could, but she didn't have to. They could meet all their bills. Everybody who needed a job had a job if they wanted to work. There were plenty of jobs for everybody in this great nation. There wasn't anyone who had to be poor unless they wanted to be poor. I can remember my father My father, folks, as a captain in the United States Air Force, earned $10,000 a year with a wife and three children. We owned our home, owned a brand new Mercury. We weren't hungry. We didn't need for anything. And if we wanted to go spend some money on something, my dad always came up with it. We weren't in debt, except for the house. Now, people are earning $40,000 a year, and they think they're doing better than my dad did when he made $10,000 a year, folks, and that's just simply not true. Because now, the husband and the wife must work to make that $40,000 a year. They are constantly on the edge of total financial disaster. They are up to their ears in hot, and if they were to cash out everything, they might be lucky if they had $2,500 left. All these people who have put their money in the stock market and think that they've made money, look at the value of the money that you've made compared to the value of the money 40 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll see that you really haven't made anything. And we are on the edge of another inflationary period, and this comes straight from the horse's mouth, Alan Greenspan. If he says it, it's as good as gold. Call our friends now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And one more time for all you slow folks. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know you have a tendency to procrastinate. Call now. You'll be glad that you did. Well, Grant, why don't you just pick up where you left off? I'm going to rest my voice, as the doctor told me that I should be doing, so you just take it from here and go as long as you want until the end of the half hour.
Okay, anyhow, I confronted Bud Wright when he was out on his presidential book-selling tour, and he came to Central Florida, at the University of Central Florida auditorium, and I tried on several occasions to ask him a question from the audience. And he was already briefed that he was not to recognize me under any circumstances. So I never got to confront Bud Wright as relates to the questions I wanted to ask him. But he knew I was on to him. But going back every place, I mean, this man has been nothing but a servant of George Bush as it relates to the transference of drugs all over the world, but mostly to this country, because early on they found out that we were the marketplace for drugs. We had the financial wherewithal. Plus, it was a process of destroying the black community, of breaking the family more than what it was previously, destroying the black family group, interdicting the young with drugs, destroying the educational process that was to be accomplished through integration. In doing that, it's brought all kinds of negative fallout on all the population of this country, to the point where we're almost bankrupt from defending our homes and with more police and all kinds of governmental suppression of our rights and so forth. It just absolutely destroyed this country, the drugs brought in here. That was all done, for the most part, by George Herbert Walker Bush.
And what was Bo Grice's role in Operation Watchtower?
Operation Watchtower, he was the commander of the group down there that was to make sure that these flights got through safely.
And how did they do that? What did they do?
They would actually communicate back to Homestead Air Force Base the tail number of those planes and make sure they were secure on the ground there, and by communicating back to Homestead Air Force Base the tail number of those planes to make sure they got through fully protected as a CIA military operation. Anything else came under the jurisdictional authority of Customs. But let me tell you about Noriega. The reason why George Bush had to go down and take him out. Noriega, only getting $250,000 as per the agreement with George Bush, saw his good friend and business partner George Bush making hundreds of millions of dollars. So he finally decided, after a few months of this, that he would send some of his security force aboard these planes and take off what he considered to be his fair share of the drugs. And in doing so, he found out that he could not market these on the world market.
Did he really believe that he was only dealing with George Bush? Didn't he understand that the Brotherhood was behind this?
No, I don't think he ever stopped to consider that. He later found out who he was dealing with. But anyhow, because he couldn't market these on the world market, he went to his old friend and George Bush's old nemesis, who had taken his oil company from him, Zapata Refineries in Havana, when he took over in 1959. Castro, and he was selling them out through Cuba, George Bush's drugs, to Spain. And all of a sudden, here's Cuba, with the help of another CIA operative called Robert Vesco, was marketing these things to Spain, and all of a sudden their beaches and their brothels and their cabarets and their hotels were being refurbished, and Cuba got to be a place for a lot of the countries in this world to visit as a resort for vacation. And this just aggravated George Bush, that his business partner had done him this way, that he sent his military police force down there and took a leader out of the sovereign nation. As though he had the right to do that, in violation of all international laws, and the world stood by and watched him do that.
Well, it actually set a precedent that, you see, in my investigation, I found out that the United States and the United Nations are the same entity. That's why the United Nations building, or headquarters, was built on United States soil, donated by the Rockefeller family. It was the United States that promoted and brought into existence the United Nations. It was people in the United States government who wrote the United Nations Charter. One of them, a well-known communist, Alger Hiss.
Right.
So the United Nations and the United States are the same. When George Bush sent troops down there, he set a precedent in international law that there is no such thing as sovereign nations. They further strengthened this precedent when the United Nations passed a resolution and sent the World Police Force, the United States military, to the Middle East, to Kuwait, to drive Saddam Hussein, who was just reading from his script, and that's the real reason why they didn't go in and kill him. It solved a population problem for him, and it made the United Nations much stronger.
Isn't it funny that we had a general over there that was running this operation for George Bush, whose father secured those oil fields for the Rockefellers?
That's right.
Really strange. It's called, his name was Schwarzkopf.
Well, it's not strange when you understand how the Brotherhood works.
Exactly.
It's passed down from father to son.
I mean, for the average listener out there, this is very strange. You say, oh, this couldn't possibly be going on. Well, they're hoping that you continue to believe that way, that this can't possibly be going on. Just like when they killed President Kennedy, which was set up at the University of Miami by Theodore Shockley and George Bush. If they could kill the President of the United States at high noon before an international TV audience, they could operate with impunity for all time.
Huh. Well, we certainly know that Bush was involved in the assassination, and we certainly know that the Brotherhood was behind it, and then it was conducted in an outdoor Temple of the Sun with all of the symbology of the mysteries present, including the three wounds to the head, the neck, and the back, the same wounds suffered by Hiram Abiff in the initiation ceremony of the lodge. And right at noon, when the symbolic sacrifice always took place throughout history, when the sun was at its most high, because it's a very basic religion, it's a pantheism that offers as the symbol of the generative force of the universe the warmth, the rays, the energy from the sun, without which no life could exist upon this earth.
As you say, here's another one of these old conspiracy busts, you know. And let me tell you about conspiracies. It is man's nature to conspire, to do anything less than that, or other than that.
Is irresponsible.
sure. That would be normal.
That's right. Well, my audience, Grant, has a great education. We've done 33 hours into the mystery schools, the Brotherhood. We have talked at length about the drugs and George Bush and all of these other things. But any time that we can get somebody on here who has corroborated whatever we found in their own research, we like to do that so that the people out there know that that I'm not as crazy as they may think that I am.
Well, but a lot of people would question me as to why George Bush would head up Operation Zapata, the invasion of Cuba. The reason why he would head up Operation Zapata is he lost a big family asset of his and Lipsky brothers in Cuba in 1959 when Castro took over. In fact, the Zapata refinery there had the Caribbean as their bailiwick for the outflow of their products, their oil products.
That's true, but you also have to understand that these weren't really his. These were CIA proprietary fronts. For the work that the CIA was doing all over the world. And but go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. George Bush always took things personal. That was his oil company, and what happened with it reflected upon him.
Uh-huh.
So they, on the University of Miami campus, Theodore Shackley and George Herbert Walker Bush put together the Triangle Fire Teams made up of Felix Rodriguez and Rafael Chichi Quintero, Luis Posada Carrillas, also known as Raymond Medina, Rafael and Rob Villardi, Ricardo Chavez, Francisco Fiorini, and he's also known in this country as Frank Sturgis, and a guy by the name of Rolando Martinez. And there was also another guy that was involved in this thing. His name was E. Howard Hunt, but he was also known as a nickname of let's see.
While you're thinking of it, I can verify that E. Howard Hunt was there. He was involved. He was probably the supervisor on the scene, you might say.
His code name, he was codenamed Eduardo. And if you'll remember the assassination of in Memphis of Martin Luther King, there was a guy by the name of Raul and Eduardo that was involved in the supplying of that gun that Ray keeps talking about.
Uh-huh.
Well, this goes right back to the break-in at Watergate. These people were involved in it. They were also involved in this assassination of John F. Kennedy. They were also involved in the assassination of his brother and Martin Luther King in Memphis, Tennessee. This was set up at the University of Miami campus and later had to be moved out to Mexico, where they finalized their training and moved into Dallas for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. This was all done with the knowledge of a guy by the name of Clint Murchison out of Dallas, Texas, Nixon and George Bush, and several others were involved in this.
Now, I've got to do this because it's my job. There's many people out there expecting me to do it. How do you know all this, Grant?
In research and talking to agents such as Russell Bourne. I talked to the man who was a pilot on their plane that flew them to these different locations. I have seen the logbook. I've seen the pictures that he has of the two Triangle Fire Teams and their girlfriends. I know the location of the safe house in Dallas where they set up for them to escape to after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I know where they went back to in Dallas, in Mexico. I know when they got there. I have available to me that logbook showing the flight from Dallas back to Mexico, from Miami to Mexico, and then back to this country after the killing.
And how were they able to stifle any investigation and ensure that that Lee Harvey Oswald was going to be pinned as a lone killer? George Bush is powerful, but he certainly doesn't control everybody in the government. There are people more powerful than him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's more people more powerful than him. He's nothing. He's not at the top layer of power, but he's several rungs down, but he still yields a lot of power. and this murderous wimp. These are the people that you have to be very, very concerned about, because these are the people that sneak up behind you because they don't have the guts to face you head on.
Most of these people don't have the guts to face anybody head on, and that's why they're engaged in what they're doing. They want to control everybody in the world because they're afraid of everybody in the world.
Yeah, and how I know all this is because for 30-some years I've been doing the research, and I talk to people. I have a network of people that I talk to. I don't take anybody's word for it. I do the research. The University of Central Florida is a depository for congressional records. I go out there continuously and look at the new records coming in to see what's going on, and determine where they're getting the financing to start this whole series of operations that they have, who's involved in it, how is it pulled off. It had to take the compliance of a lot of people in government to be able to pull off what they pulled. Destroying the Constitution, taking our rights away from us, that it had to be in compliance with all of Congress, because everybody that's seated up there more than one term is, as far as I'm concerned, a treasonous, but because in the Constitution it says, once you're chosen from your district, you have to move to Washington, D.C. You know, you can no longer live in your district. So those people sitting up there with multiple terms in Congress are, as far as I'm concerned, treasonous. And I'll read it to you. It says, no person shall be a senator who shall not have attained the age of 30 years. It's compelling he be 30 years old, not 29 and a half, and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of the state for which he shall be chosen. Our forefathers were just out from underneath the king, and they did not want any lifelong politicians. They didn't want any lords or ladies or kings or queens sitting in Washington, D.C., governing the people. That's the reason why they set up that 10-square-mile the seat of government called the District of Columbia, with no elected officials sitting in Congress from that area. You were to go there and live and serve as a U.S. representative or a U.S. Senator, not with this parochial crap of coming back to your district and courting the people that had put you in office. You were to serve as a United States Congressman, because they're in violation of the Constitution and protected in the process of violating the very Constitution they swore to uphold. They're part of the problem. Through a conspiracy with these treasonous sitting in Congress on multiple terms, along with these other greedy individuals in the military, they've allowed the military-industrial complex to take over this country and bring drugs in, put onto us intelligence agencies for the demoralizing of people to investigate them, the FBI with their blackface operations, somewhat comparable, or if not more destructive and more fearful, causing more fear in the public than Hitler did here in this country. The very operations they're doing, but everything they're doing in this country is coming right out of the Third Reich doctrine.
Oh boy, I've been saying that for years.
We're doing it all over again. In fact, when Theodore Shackley came back and reported to the head of the CIA, he was coming back from Germany, and he brought back with him the entire documents of the Third Reich and presented them to George Bush. And that's where all this stuff is coming from. I'm really appalled that the Jews of this country that would like to talk to you so much about the Holocaust during the Second World War had nothing to say when Waco went down.
Yes, had nothing to say when the Cambodians were being eliminated. Has nothing to say right now while they're doing the ethnic cleansing is just another word for genocide.
Yes.
While they're destroying the Muslims in Bosnia. And yes, that irks me too. Every time they invoke that Holocaust guilt trip on me, who had nothing to do with any Holocaust, I throw all these other things in their face because that's where exactly where it belongs.
The ox is not getting gored, so there's no reason to say anything. Besides, they're going to make a little money off of this, and we know what floats their boat.
Well, I've got news for them. They're being used, and they're being conned, and when this New World Order comes into being, the State of Israel is going to be forfeit, and Orthodox Jews are going to find themselves in prison camps just go right along with the rest of us.
Well, what they have to understand, and I just returned from Israel. I was over there for 3 weeks in that area. And there is absolutely no place in the New World Order for the State of Israel.
That's correct.
It gets destroyed. And if they think they have a homeland there that's secure, think again. I would suggest that they get off this liberal crap and start looking at things with a little bit of reality involved in their thinking.
Well, there are a lot of Jewish patriots out there who are helping us and who are digging up information and who are ready to fight for the Constitution and for this country, and that I can assure you.
Thank God you got something out there, because there's none in Florida, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think they're a little bit more careful than most people. Anybody who walks around flaunting the fact that they're a patriot today to the establishment is asking for it.
Yeah, I guess I'm asking for it, Bill.
Well, there's got to be some of us who are leaders, but I'm talking about those who are not on the radio, those who are not doing the research that we're doing, but are prepared and ready to fight whatever fight needs to be fought. They need to keep their identities close to them. They don't need to have their cars in parking lots where somebody can write down their license plate number, especially Bo Greitz's parking lot.
Yeah, all right, that's the truth. You know, I'm 57 years old. This country's been awfully good to me, and I owe an awful lot to this country. And my family's been here since 1542, I think. They came here.
Uh-huh.
Serves me right. I filed my sovereignty with the courts. I'm a sovereign citizen. I'm not under any contract of adhesion. I owe enough to this country and save my peace and try to destroy those that are trying to destroy this nation.
Well, I want to thank you, Grant, for being our guest tonight. We're out of time.
I enjoyed it.
And
it's a good work.
Why don't you give a plug for your book right quick?
It's Immaculate Deception, The Bush Crime Family Exposed. I collaborated with General Russell Eborn, 48 years a CIA OSS officer, and it's $12.95, and you can reach me at 1-800-533-4161 if you'd like to order a book.
Let's say that phone number one more time.
1-800-533-4161.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
For all of you listening out there, good night, and God bless you all. Thank you.
He's always been there.